Please stretch your hands this way. Your Father God, please bless Brother Benny as he delivers this word to us this evening. Open our ears and our hearts that we would receive the word that you have given to him tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, as Brandon explained to you Sunday, you get a lot of notice when you're supposed to come up here and is this all right, Eddie? Notice when you're supposed to come up here and do a talk. I got called about 9 o'clock last night or text and said, I'm going to try to make it, but just in case. And the way I heard it, Linda gave him an alternative. He could stay home or get, he wouldn't have to worry about this living thing. She would handle it. So I think he decided, for health reasons, mostly his, to stay home. So I ended up, I thought, well, I know a good one I did a while back that some of y'all didn't hear. And Eddie sent me an email, had it all written out and everything because I'd lost my paper. I couldn't find it. And evidently, I ate the email, or the dog did, because I couldn't find that either. So you got stuck with what I could remember off of something else. And the name, Eddie, the name of this one is The Power of One. Now, how many times did you said, what can one person do? I'm just one person. What can I do? I can't do much of anything, because I'm only one. Well, you've heard other people say that, too. And how many said, there's nothing I can do because I'm only one? I know everybody in here said it myself. But David has a nickname, has a name for that kind of talk and for that kind of thinking. He calls it stinking thinking because that's exactly what it is. What can one person do? I mean, we got to get rid of that stinking thinking, and we got to say, the Lord give us stuff we need to get things done, and let's get on with the program here. But one person got rid of prayer in school. One person. Nobody stood up against her, and she got prayer taken out of school. One person. One person made a vote in the Continental Congress to where we speak English instead of German. One person. One person was told to lead the people out of Egypt. One person. Yeah, I know he had help. He had Aaron there to help him. But now when God come to him and said, look, I want you to lead the people out of Egypt. He said, okay, Lord, I'm ready to go, right? Just as much as you do say, I'm only one, there ain't nothing I can do. He come up with that same thing. And let's look at the excuses he used, if you've tried any of them. If you'll go to Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. So now I am sent, this is God talking to Moses. So I am now going to send you to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? How many times have you said, when God told you, that little voice in your ear said, do something, you say, who am I to do that? Who am I to stand up against all those other people out there, look like a fool, and do what you just told me to do? And then God got answered him on that one. And then Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? And then God comes back and says, tell them I am has sent you. I am that I am. And then if you'll go over to chapter 4, verses 1 through 14, this one is the good one. This is where he comes up with all the good excuses. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? And the Lord said, what's that in your hand? He said, a staff. He said, throw it on the ground. So Moses threw the staff on the ground. It became a snake. He said, and I grabbed a snake by the tail. He did and became a staff again. He said, you can show them that this is what they did. And then the Lord told him, he said, well, what if they still don't believe me? He said, put your hand inside of your cloak. Moses did, and he pulled out his hand, and it was leprous, white as snow. He stuck it back in again, pulled it out, and it was healed. So there was two signs right there that God gave him. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to me, to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Anybody ever say I can't get up in front of a group and talk? Yeah. When you're sitting back there, ain't nothing wrong with your motor mouth. It's going full time, but you got to get up here and tell somebody Jesus, all of a sudden you get lockjaw. Well, that's what Moses is saying that he did. That excuse has already been used, folks. And guess what? Didn't work for him, ain't going to work for you. And then, so that's when God says, well, I'll send Aaron with you. He can talk. And then Moses come up with the number one excuse that we all use. And I know everybody in here has tried this along for size because I try it quite often. But Moses said, oh, Lord, please send someone else to do it. Let George do it. Well, George is tired of doing everything. He's ready for a little bit of help and a little bit of relief. So that's where we come in. But if you go through the list of excuses, there's somewhere close to seven excuses Moses tried when God, this is talking directly to God now. God told him to go out and do these things, and he come up with this long list of excuses why he couldn't do what God told him to do. And finally, the Lord got angry with him. And I ain't sure exactly how he phrased it, but if it was something like, if you don't get up and do what I told you to, I got a size 10 that'll fit your rear end and we'll get you on the move. And that's what he did, and Moses got to moving because he was only one. And what could one person do? Now, if you don't think that the power of one, you're kind of getting warm out there a little bit now. The mosquitoes are out. You let one get in your house when you cut out the lights and get in your bedroom, and you're going to see what one can do. It can get some people moving and quick because you're going to cut the lights on. You're going to find that sucker and kill him before he drains you of the hot blood you got left. That's what one can do. Now, God's given us a call to action. And that call to action, you're going to have to use the talents he gave you. Well, he didn't give me any talents. Yes, he did. You just ain't use them because you don't know what they are. But he gave them to you. And he expects you to use them and put them to use. He didn't give me the talent of singing. I tried it one time and I got serenaded with vegetables and fruit. And David told me not to try it again because the aim, church people's aim was bad. And they were messing up the wall behind me with the cans. So singing ain't one of my talents. Listening is one of my talents, so I do a good job of that. But he gave me the talent to teach, to get out there and teach in the Sunday school class and teach in search and rescue and so forth and teach. And so I got up there and I started talking to people. And then when I first started in search is a good example. Well, good example of what I'm talking about. There was nothing in Eastern North Carolina. I tried for 3 years to get a class here and to no avail. Couldn't get it done. So I said, well, I know one way I can get it done. I can go out and become a teacher and come back and that way I can have a class here anytime I want to. So I drove to Morganton for most of my training. Then it was a 5.5-hour drive one way. And I was complaining to a boy named Steve Foster, who was the instructor that I had that taught me about how to drive that far. He says, yeah, I know what you mean. I had to go to Texas to get mine. So I didn't say nothing else. I just shut my mouth and listened and enjoyed my little drive because it wasn't near as far as Texas was. He brought search and rescue to North Carolina. One man. Power of one. He brought it, and now it spread all over North Carolina. even down here into the swamps in the east. So that's another example of what one person can do. He brought it to North Carolina. I went up to get it from him so I could bring it back down to eastern North Carolina. And it's progressed from there. So that's what one person can do. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you needed God's help? Now, how does God like to work? Through other people, right? Well, this one woman was in a bad part of town. It was getting kind of late. She knew that she should not be there when the sun went down. So it started getting late, so she went to her car so she could get out of there and go home. And lo and behold, she had locked her keys in the car. So she put her hands together. She said, "Lord, I need your help. I have locked myself out of the car. I don't need to be here at sundown. Please, please send me some help to get me squared away on this so I can make it out of here before something bad happens." About 10 minutes later, an old beat-up car pulled by, and a man gets out of that car. It was the biggest man she'd ever seen in her life and the roughest-looking thing to ever walk around on anywhere that anybody had seen. He got out there and he straightened himself up and he said, "I have no idea why I'm here. Something told me to come here, so I don't know why. I just got out of prison for grand theft auto." And she puts her hands together and says, "Thank you, Lord. Not only did you send help, you sent a professional." Power of one. One person. He used her to pray. He used that fella to help. Power of one. A couple of the big boys of the Bible. Now I like to look at the big boys, see what kind of men God used for the mighty works. And you know what I found out when I started digging into them? Majority of them are the biggest screw-ups you ever saw in your life. They're worse than any one of us in here. And I'm going to talk about two of them tonight. There are one's not so bad, and one is, oh, Lord, why in the world was he born? And the first one, King David. Everybody knows he was a man after. I didn't mean big words. He was a man after God's own heart. Right? Well, let's look at him a little bit. Now, when he was a snotty-nosed, scrawny teenager, about 5 foot tall, he went against a giant named Goliath that was 28 and 9 foot tall. And that snotty-nosed youngin killed him on the battlefield. Because he had God on his side. And he knew that with God on his side, anything was possible. Maybe this will work more good, or we'll see. But after he killed Goliath, now of course he was ordained to be the new king of Israel. And all this was supposed to come about in the past. Saul got jealous, who was the king then, and was going to try to kill him. So he ended up having to run away from Saul for 10 years and hide from him so he couldn't find him. And while he was doing that running, he got into a mess of trouble. Now, how much trouble did David get in? Read Psalms. Every psalm he wrote was not about, "Lord, thank you for all the everything you sent me." He said, "Lord, I am in trouble again." And he was. Enemies was on all sides of him, all around him. Every time he turned around, something bad was fixing to happen. And he was going to be right in the middle of it. That was King David. Now, it wasn't too bad, except if you count out that adultery and murder stuff. The rest of it wasn't bad. And God rebuked him for that. But why was he got man after God's own heart when he screwed up everything he'd ever laid his hands on? Because every time he messed up, he got down on his knees and says, "Lord, I have done it again. Please forgive me." That's what made him a man after God's own heart. But he was only one. And the last one I want to talk about was the baddest of the bad. Now, you've all known somebody in your lifetime that was bad news. I don't care how bad you think you are, there's always somebody out there badder. Well, there won't nobody badder than this boy. He was the baddest of the bad. You could come into a building about this size and it'd be packed full of people, and you could shout, "Saul of Tarsus!" The time the echo died, you'd be standing here by yourself because the rest of them done left. They run and they hid at the mention of his name because he was that bad. He come to your house and dragged you out in chains. Now, the people, your family and your neighbors never knew if you went to prison or they murdered you, because they never heard from you again. He imprisoned and murdered hundreds, if probably thousands of Christians. He was Satan's right-hand man. Every time he could, he was out to destroy the church. And if you read Acts 8:3 and 9:1-2, and I'm not going to read them tonight, you can read them on your own, you're going to find out that he went to get a letter giving him the authority to imprison anybody he even thought was a Christian. All he had to do was look, say, "You look like a Christian, come with me. I'm going to get rid of you." But God used him. A man like that, God used. Somebody out trying to destroy the church, God used him. And we all know about the Apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 in the New Testament. Of course, most of it was behind prison walls, but still he wrote 2/3 in the New Testament. That's what one can do. One man who had to turn his life around, and it took Jesus himself to get dead in the middle of his face and his life to get him turned around, but he did. He turned him around. So what is the power of one? Helen, would you please stand up? I ain't going to make you do nothing. Just stand up. That's one. Now, there ain't so much that one is going to be able to do. Stephanie, how about you standing up too? Now, lo and behold, we've doubled. There's two of them. And they got more strength together than either one of them separate, because that added to their strength. Frankie, how about you and Steve standing there? Lord, have mercy. Don't sit down yet. We ain't done. Honey, you got work ahead of you. You got to do. Now there's four. We have doubled our numbers all of a sudden. And now, by golly, we got enough folks. We can start to get something done. Because one stood up. Now everybody in the church stand up. Yes, you too. It won't kill you. If it does, cemetery right over there. Now look at what we got to go out and work and to do God's work. Thank you. You can sit down now. But now we got enough people that we can actually get it done. We can have some kind of movement going on. Like Eddie was telling me when we got in here this morning, if one brings one, how long is it going to take to get a bunch going? Now, when we go out crabbing and we get started in the beginning of the year, the catch is real small. And all of a sudden, next time you go out, you double it. Well, if it's real small and you double it, you still ain't got nothing. But if you keep on doubling every time after a while, you're doing good. And that's the way it is with God's work. One brings one, then all of a sudden, we got a whole heap of folks. We can get something done. But right now, this country is not going the way God wanted it to, not going the way He set it up. Now, the boys that wrote the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, now, they were smart boys. For their time, I'm going to have them that. But I don't think they were smart enough to write what they did. They were smart enough to ask for help. And they got it. And that's why we got the Constitution, everything we got now. And we got a bunch of folks out there trying to destroy it, trying to get rid of the church, trying to get rid of Christianity, trying to do everything they can, because they are Satan's right-hand man, and they're trying to destroy what God has built. And it's up to us to stand up. And I want all of you to practice this one word. You can practice it here tonight, and you can practice where you go home. Put your lips together and say, no. That's right. When they come in and they try to take something away and destroy this church, tell them, no. Or as Charlton Heston said one time, over my cold, dead body you will. That's what they did back in the old times. That's what Jesus did. And he went down and he defeated Satan. So Satan is a whoop puppy. All we got to do is tell him in the name of Jesus, Satan, leave now. And he will go. He can't stay around. You'll feel it when he leaves. And that's what we're going to have to do to all these people that are trying to bring this country down. We're going to have to say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, get out of this building. Go. And they're gone. They'll be back. Promise you that. But we can get rid of them. And then the other people sitting around there with their mouth hanging open figure out who they were working for. Because you just showed them. But if God can take a man like Saul of Tarsus and turn him into Apostle Paul, he can use each and every one of us. All we got to do is use the talents that he gave us, whatever they might be. And just if you don't know what it is, look them up in the Bible and figure out which one he gave you. Because he gave you some talents. All you got to do is use them. Now in closing, we're going to get out of touch early tonight. I went to the VA one time. And they had a sign up there on the wall. It said, when you were born, you cried and the world rejoiced. Live your life so that when you die, you rejoice and the world cries. Thank you. Anybody want to come up here and pray? The altar is open. Come help yourself.
Lead me, Holy Spirit, inside the veil to the most holy place where your glory dwells. Where my heart is troubled, there's a place where peace abounds at the throne of grace. I'll seek your face and kneel in the place where your glory dwells. Lead me, Holy Spirit, inside the veil to the most holy place where your glory dwells. Where my heart is troubled, there's a place where peace abounds at the throne of grace. I'll see.